In this second part of my interview with David Allen, we continue our conversation about GTD and productivity. Hello and welcome to the second part of my conversation with David Allen, the Mr. GTD guy himself. And in this second part, we continue our conversation about getting things done, the methodology, and we also talk a little bit around applications and productivity issues in general. So let's get straight into this second part right now, and we continue our conversation from the previous episode, 75.
Now, there's one question that I'm struggling with, actually, which is dating. Because I know in the GTDs, if it needs to be done on a specific day, it goes into the calendar. But to-do list managers, pretty much all the to-do list managers out there, they have date pickers, and it's kind of pushing you towards adding dates to your tasks. Is there a way around this? I mean, is it just purely if it has to be done on a specific day, it goes on the calendar, or is there and run everything
well,
through your...
There's due on and due by. Mm. You know, those are two different things.
Yeah.
Right. And unfortunately, no apps out there are really, really give you the capability to make those kind of choices. Mm. You know, you still have to do the workaround. It's still a bit labor intensive to figure that out. If it's due on, like I can't do it until Friday and I better do it on Friday. I need to send that FedEx on Friday, right? Can't do it before, I won't have the material. Can't do it after because it's got to go out by the end of day on Friday. That goes on Friday's calendar, right? So that's a due on.
Yeah.
That's a date specific due. I can't do it before, can't do it after. That's the day I need to see that. Due by means I could send that FedEx anytime, but I better send it by Friday. So right. Then I've got to, you know, send the FedEx isn't going to be an action step unless there's some previous action I need to take before I can send it. Mm-hmm. That's going to go on my action list, you know, at office or at home, whatever, wherever I would park that. And it will have a due date on it. And I then need to go to that calendar on that last day and say, sent FedEx dude, ? As a day specific piece of information. So red flags. Mm-hmm. Are a way to use your calendar that says, I need to, that's something to know on Friday that if I haven't sent it by then, I better do it. Right. Mm-hmm. But I still, so that's the only time I double enter anything would be in that case when it's a due by,
right.
You know, I need to do it by that date. Mm-hmm.
So for me, I've got in my calendar, I would say, I tend to organize my work schedule. So like Monday morning, for example, is write blog post, but I actually have just writing time scheduled on Monday morning. My to-do list tells me what I'm going to write.
Right.
That's basically how I do it. So that I can.
No, that's smart.
I mean, essentially, I'm using it like context, but I'm adding a date, but a context of writing. So what's my writing task? These are the ones I want to do. And actually, I usually pick that up in my weekly review. So I tend to plan out the week from the weekly review and just my calendar is just telling me the type of work I'm going to do at that time because I'm in the right place with the right tools. And my to-do list is just telling me what needs to be done that's related to that place, people, or tool. This is why I was saying that I realized that GTD was a set of guiding principles for me anyway, I was able to like kind of say, right, calendar is going to tell me what I'm going to do, type of work, and my to-do is tell me exactly what I'm going to do. What needs doing.
And you've got obviously a stable enough lifestyle that you could hold to that. I don't plan anything. My life is
well. The interesting one for me is going to be when I fly over to Europe because that takes me right out of my environment. But I look at what tools I've got with me, which will be my computer and my iPad, so I can write. And I look at where I'm going to be, so I'm going to be 10 hours in the air. So and it only takes me 90 minutes to write a blog post. So I thought, okay, that's going to leave me with 7.5 hours. What else am I going to do? Sleep. <Right.
laughs> Yeah, so, lots of movies. There are lots of movies to watch.
So that's I read GTD as well. Actually, that's on the list. So, but the thing that gets me is that you know that weekly review actually is kind of like your stake in the ground. It's for me. It's like my base. you say, all sorts can happen during the week. And if you haven't managed to be able to tie those loose ends up, that Sunday afternoon for me gives me that opportunity to say, right, what do I really want to do with that?
Yeah.
Anything? That's the key for me. Anything is a great question. I'm usually hoping for a, no, I don't want to do anything with it. I've just got a few more questions. One of the, I saw a wonderful video of you when you were still in, I think, California, the video on your home office, and you were showing how you, I think, how you set up your home office. It will have been a long time ago.
It hadn't changed much. If you looked at it right now, it's going to look very similar to,
because the aspect ratio of the video is the old aspect ratio. It wasn't widescreen. But the the interesting thing then was is that you had a lot of folders, files, and paper. Is that still the case now, or are you more paper? Maybe not paperless, but
well, I have
a lot more digital.
I'm down to one file drawer of paper-based stuff as opposed to four. So right. I still have one, because there's still, I don't care, we're not done with paper yet. So income tax, I've got training materials that that we hand out. I've got a legal issue that I just want to keep that stuff until it's totally put to bed. I've got money international, so.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. I remember.
Well, here's South African money. Here's Thailand money. Here's
Yes.
But now I have to kill you. I just showed it to you. Right. So you're not going to get rid of that stuff. I mean, there's enough money in here that's useful. You know, when I go to Russia for a master class in May, I've got Russian money already, come on. So you're still going to need that. So I still have one file drawer that, unfortunately, in Europe, there's no filing cabinet that you don't have to use hanger folders. So I still have, I had to bite the bullet and go and start to use hanging folders in order to stick these things in here. But it's pretty much one folder, one file per hanging folder. So it doesn't get too junked up.
Well, I mean, I still have my physical inbox, because even though I would say 90% of the stuff I'm collecting now is digital, I have when students pay for like the language courses that I do, if they pay by credit card, yes. My metal, you got one piece in there as well. That's empty.
There's two in there, actually.
All right.
There's a bunch of notes I was making last night.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm going to do with these. Oh yeah, Taipei HR conference on the 8th of May? ?
I do that. I write something down quickly, throw it into the in tray, and come back to it 24 hours later. And think, oh yeah, what was that about? What was that?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why it's good to write your. That's good to write your dog's name.
Yeah, okay. It is. Yeah. Just in case I forget. What am I buying dog food for? I know many interviews you've done. You were using an e-productivity Lotus Notes e-productivity. Are you still using that?
Yep.
Right.
Nothing better.
I know. Well, you see, one of the biggest issues I have, and I write about this, I even do my YouTube videos on this, is tell people to stop app switching. And actually, I always say, if you look at David Allen, he's been using his same like to-do list manager. He must be getting close to 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
So he says, can you imagine if there's anything goes wrong with that system, he knows what to do. Because you learn. I mean, I've been using Evernote, for example, to keep all my digital notes, I suppose, for 10 years now, coming up to 10 years. And people keep talking about Notion and all these other new apps that are coming out. I'm thinking, well, do I really want to learn something new when I know exactly how to use Evernote?
Yeah, well, most people want the new, because they didn't make the new really work. So they thought, okay, maybe the new will do it for me. And then they end up productivity porn, which and there's there's nothing wrong with that. If it's, I know people that just do that as a hobby, so they're worse hobbies to have. you know, sure.
I mean, I do. I play around with some of the new apps to see what's, you know, what people are talking about. But I've always said, if something that I felt was a real game changer, I might be tempted to move.
Sure. But, no, nothing's changed the game since the word processor and the spreadsheet. But frankly, it's all it's done is speed it up.
Yeah, it is. But that was some of the things that I've always thought, yeah, he never changes that one. And I know why, because I don't change either. Because I just know how things work. I know the keyboard shortcuts. I mean, the speed. To me, it's all about speed. Sure. And having to learn.
Well, my friend Eric Mack, who designed the e-productivity thing to overlay on top of notes, you know, he was my CTO for 10 years, you know, or more. So he knew the GTD process. So he built it. You know, if I sent you an email right now, there's a little radio button I could click waiting for. And as soon as I send that email, it automatically goes to my waiting for list, automatically puts your name on it, automatically date stamps it. Give me anything else that does that.
Yeah, there's nothing.
They don't. So,
yeah, you're right. You know. They don't. Oh, and the other
The big problem with most of the list managers is that you have to create real workarounds to tie them to email and to your calendar.
Yes.
Because they don't have either one of those built into those. So, you know, that you got to try to figure out how to do that. And some of the apps like OmniFocus or whatever have built some workarounds where you could sort of tie those things together. But there's so much that goes on in terms of email and calendar that you need to have that, and you need to have that closely tied to whatever your list manager process is.
It is. And the problem I've always found when I've tried to do that, it just means one day it doesn't work. For whatever reason, there's some problem in the server, and I lose my trust.
Yeah,
and
if I have a trusted system.
If I don't trust it, I don't want to use it. So then you're double checking, and you're wasting a lot of time. So yeah,
for sure.
One of these quick questions: are you still using the Tickler file?
I have a digital version of it. I'm not using the physical Tickler file again, because just the filing systems here are just not nearly as simple and efficient as they were in the States that I could set up. But I've got a digital version of it. So, you know, and that's built into eProductivity, by the way, so there is a Tickler file folder, you know, so, you know, and I can just drag an email over to something and then put a date on it. And then it will show. And also in my weekly review, as opposed to the physical Tickler file, the digital, the way this is set up, I actually can see all the stuff showing up coming toward me in my Tickler file at any point in time. So all I have to do is click that, and I'll see all those things coming toward me. So I don't have to wait till the day to see it. I can actually see ahead of time those things that I
I'm using digital version of it now. I did actually have a physical up until about 5 years ago, but now it's a digital version. I love it.
I love the physical one. The physical one's great. Boy, you just drop stuff in there and then it just shows up. You know,
because I can attach the PDF files to it and then stuff like that. But I've got things like check Above and Beyond's tour dates to see if they're coming to Korea. It comes up on the first of every month, and you know, I don't even have to think about checking now. I just know I know it's going to be there. And I actually put a little front like Tickler, because I do like the sound of that, and it just comes up Tickler, so I know I can ignore it if I want to. But it's just one of those wonderful reminder things that just, it can save you so much stress and pain. I think.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, when does your driver's license expire? When does your passport expire? When does it, you know, is that all that, all those need to be in there?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Actually, I got caught out last year. My British passport did expire, but I knew that. I knew that was coming. But I didn't note down that you have to tell the Korean immigration that you've changed your passport within, I think it's 6 weeks. And I only realized 2 months or 8 weeks later, and I picked up about $50 fine and a 2 hour wait at the immigration office while they took their slow time to process.
Even worse.
Which I thought was part of the punishment, because I had to just sit there and watch them working. So the Tickler valve, does save you so much stress. Just a couple of questions left here. Over the years, probably a very general question. What have you seen as being the biggest change over the last, say, 20 years in personal productivity?
How fast things are changing. you can't rest on your priorities very long, because the world is just, you know, the speed of change is speeding up. So, you know, come on.
As you can see though, you see that with email.
Yeah. Well, your parents, I mean, come on, their 50th anniversary. How often did they have to totally rethink their priorities and their lifestyle and careers?
Right? Probably once every 20 years.
And you and I, God knows this week, you know, who knows, you know, who knows what may happen. So that's probably the biggest change. There's nothing really new. I mean, all these basic principles are old as dirt. You know, so there's nothing really new except how frequently it is.
Yeah.
That's what's different. And so your ability to then be able to then integrate new data that's potentially meaningful, find out what the meaning is, and then recalibrate all of your inventory of commitments and then refocus appropriately in a trusted way. We have to do that weekly.
Yeah.
Not every 20 years. So that's what's different.
I mean, I actually do find myself these days, and this is just in 10 years, having to do like a daily mini review.
Yeah.
And I remember reading the GTD book the first time, it was saying, occasionally you may need to do a review in the midweek. But you know, now I'm having to do, I mean, when I say mini review, it's like 10, 15 minutes. It's not a big review, but there's so much coming in that I just want that reassurance that I know what it is.
And, you know, the bad and good news is, for the most part, it's the stress of opportunity. How many things could you be doing right now instead of talking to me, Carl? Right? How many things are just on your phone? You know, you have more technology in your hand, in your pocket right now than we had going to the moon.
Yeah, right? I know.
You know, come on. So, you know, it's the opportunity. And oh my God, if you had kids that are 2 years old, but down the street there's a 3-year old and they're taking classes in Mozart and they're going to be able to get into Harvard or into Oxford, and your kid may not because they're not taking that class. Oh my God. Ah! You know, how many things? That's why, you know, if you saw my first TEDx, that, you know, in a crisis, oftentimes people move into their zone because it forces you to single out the one thing called live. Don't drown, don't burn up, you know, whatever, and focus. And when there's no crisis, there's a bigger one. All the demons at the gate come rushing through the gate, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you could do this, you could do this. Oh my God, you could do this. Oh my God, you could, what, how much work? Oh my God, Carl, there's, you could add value. How many things could you be doing with your dog right now that you're not doing, right?
Yeah. Actually, the funny thing is my off the grid time is walking the dog.
Yeah,
just getting out into the park. It's you know, I do have the phone just for photographs. That's it. The phone's in the pocket, but it's only in case of the photo opportunity. But other than that, phone stays well out of the way. It's just me and the dog, and it's my just thinking. It's great.
That's true.
And I don't even
we had to put our dog down a few months ago. So
that's sad.
Yeah, I know. That's tough. It never gets any easier. No. But we'll get another one midsummer.
Well, our little boy is getting, he's 13 now, so he's getting, you know, a few little problems developing now, but he's a Yorkshire Terrier, so they're quite robust. Well,
they live.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of energy, sometimes too much. And there's one final question, because I would really like to be able to help on this, and I struggle. How can we get more people who need GTD to be involved in the GTD movement? Because most of the people I come across, most of the people I'm talking to in the productivity space, they've all read the book, they're all into GTD. But the people, like particularly the business people I'm coaching in terms of communication and language, who are not, you know, coming to me for help with productivity, they're stressed out. And I'm thinking, you need to read this book. But how do you get people to kind of open their eyes and realize there is a way out of this stress and overwhelm and overwork?
Okay, well, here's the secret. Beats me.
I wish. Yeah, no.
Beats me. I have no idea, Carl. Come on, I've been doing this for 35 years, and some people get it and some people don't. And, you know, I don't want to either spoon feed people or beat anybody up over the head. You know, my job's really an educator. I'm not a motivational speaker. I just want to give people information. You want more space? Here's how you get it, right? What you do with that space is up to you.
Yeah.
But GTD invariably just creates more room. But if people have enough room, you know, so what? You know, come on, you can't, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So, You know, that's...
See, my headmaster said, yes, you can. You can salt its oats.
That's good. I'll remember that. Yeah. That's good.
And
most people, their life is good enough. Mm. The biggest barrier to entry is addiction to stress. And that means your willingness to tolerate the result of not doing GTD.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, if the good fairy showed up and disappeared, everybody's email backlogged to zero. In 3 weeks, everybody have pretty much the amount they currently have. It's not about their volume. It's about how comfortable are they with how many unprocessed, unclarified, unorganized things. Mm. You know, yours and mine are zero. You know, it's never zero because there's always stuff coming in.
Yeah, of course. But they become numb to it, though, don't they? It's more a case of numb.
Sure, sure. You get used to it. Whatever you're used to is an addiction, you know, basically. Yeah. And as long as it's good enough, you know, there's probably no reason to change because this requires change. And it requires, the funny thing is, everybody's going to have to do GTD anyway. You're still going to have to decide what the friggin' email means and what they're going to do about it. They're still going to have to clean up at some point all the stuff that accumulates around them. So this is not like they have to do anything new. Mm. You know, it's just doing it on the front end instead of on the back end when you're forced to. That's the big difference.
It's one of the funny things I did recently was I reviewed Tony Robbins's RPM or OPA system. And as I was reading it, I went, well, this is GTD. Because it's outcome thinking. And it's like, well, what is it? What do I have to do? What do I want? What's my result? And I thought, whoa. And then it got me curious and looking at other like so-called productivity systems. I thought, it's GTD. It's GTD. And I've heard you talk many times about that. It wasn't so much as being an invention. It was just something, a realization. And the natural planning process as well. Those things.
You know, Tony took my seminar and I've taken his. So, you know, it's rivers and streams and tributaries of all the same stuff.
Yeah. But it was interesting when I went really deep into it and I thought, this actually is GTD. but there's obviously differences, but that's why I say when you see the GTD more as a set of guiding principles. And once you realize that, you know, it opens up a lot more flexibility. I think sometimes people, they're trying to go what I describe as pure GTD, and it might work for some, but there's so many different, as long as you're following the five principles.
Well, it's like my wife.
Where you file, how you collect, you know, all those things, it's entirely up to you.
My wife just read, and I'm going to read it. The woman, I can't remember the title. It's Heat, Salt, Acid, and something else. And basically, if you understand these, you'll be able to cook anything as opposed to following some specific recipe. So it's understanding what is the basic chemistry of food. Right. And once you understand that, then you don't have to be held hostage by any particular recipe. You can just make it all work. Yeah. You know, so we now salt any meat that we're going to cook the next day, we try to salt the night before. Because it makes a huge difference, you know. So just understanding that kind of stuff. I mean, she studied with Alice Waters, you know, and worked with her in Berkeley. Mm. So fascinating book. So to your point, once you get the basics, once you get the principles, then you can do all kinds of things with it.
I think that's why there's people have that fascination with what apps are you using, and I always think they don't get it yet. Because it really doesn't matter.
Right. Well, the funny paradox, Carl, is that once you really get this, it doesn't matter. And once you really get this, it matters like crazy because you want the best one. Right?
Well, yeah. I suppose it is.
It's a strange paradox.
Yeah. You know. It's one of my hobbies is like collecting fountain pens, and they can be very expensive. And it's always a case of, that's always a Waterman, Schaefer Waterman.
Is a DuPont.
Oh, DuPont. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. I've gone through my Dunhill phase at the moment. So, but it's always like you think, oh, that the Mont Blanc, I think it's called the 365. Anyway, it's the big one. And it's kind of like I say, every collector's got to have, this is how my brain is justifying, well, I'm not a collector until I have one. I said, no, it's like $800. No, for a pen.
Right.
So, yeah. So you're right. You always want the shiny, probably the best one, like the Rolls Royce of GTD to-do list managers and stuff. Yeah, I know the feeling. Anyway, well, thank you very much for coming on to this, onto the Working With podcast, David. It's been great having you. And
thanks, Carl.
All the very best for the GTD Summit.
Thank you, sir.
I hope that is a success. I'll put the links to the website in the show notes because there is tickets are on sale. There's still tickets available, I take it?
Yep.
Excellent. But it's a perfect place to have it is Amsterdam. Absolutely perfect place. Anyway, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for coming on. It's been great talking to you, David.
Thanks for the invitation, Carl. It was fun.
Okay,
so there you go. The end of the second part of my chat with David Allen. I hope you got a lot of value from this episode. I hope you learned a lot, and I hope you will now go and have a look at the GTD Summit. So if you're based in Europe, that would be an amazing place for you to go to and learn an amazing amount of information about GTD. And also, if you haven't read David's book, Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Living, I strongly recommend you read that book. It is like the manual on getting things done. Well, thank you again for listening to this episode. It just remains for me now to wish you all a very, very productive week.